WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. This time following up the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway in Bristol, Tennessee. The Father's Day race, the Father's Day edition, and we've got winners for you. Starting off with a 15-time NHRA Funny Car champion, John Force. John is going to join us on this show, and what a way to start off Father's Day. Have to race your daughter in the first round. John takes out Courtney, goes on to victory, runs the cruiser in the final round, and we'll hear from John just minutes from now. Also on this show, Steve Torrance, the Capco Top Fuel dragster. Turmoil and making decisions and crew chief changes. Well, payoff with a victory, takes out fellow Texan Spencer Massey in the final round, and Steve Torrance is going to tell us about it on this show here this week. Also on this show, we've got a first-time winner. Roger Brogdon has been on WFO Radio many times, but never as a pro stock winner. His first winner's interview will happen on this show, so stick around. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals going on this weekend. I'll be there. Are you going to be there? The whole world is going to be there. And we'll speak with the general manager of New England Dragway, Joe Lombardo. You'll hear saws and I'm sure all kinds of stuff going on in the background as they get ready for their first NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series event. And he's the hometown boy from Hope, Rhode Island, just about an hour and 40 minutes away. BT3, Bob Tasca, been running very consistently. We're going to speak with Bob. He raced his first car ever down a drag strip down New England Dragway. He's going to tell us all about it as we get ready for the inaugural Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals. But to start it off, like we do each week, joining us now, the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be here. I'm just glad you still have room for me after all that.
We have a lot of stuff on this week's show, but that's what we try to do here on WFO Radio, is just pack in the content, 10 pounds of content in a 2-pound bag.
Works for me. Let's get started.
Bristol Dragway, Father's Day weekend, John Force wins in Funny Car, battles Courtney, battles the Cruiser. That was an epic win for the 15-time champ.
Yeah, it was definitely a big one, no question about it. You know, that was one of the things that John hadn't done, was to win on Father's Day. And you know, obviously when qualifying was over, he and Courtney had to run round one. That's not the way that you dream of starting the day, but it ended up being probably the best Funny Car matchup of the day. They were 3,000ths apart at the finish line stripe, with John just barely eking out that win. And then he went on to, I mean, he had a tough day. You know, you figure Matt Hagen in the second round is certainly no pushover, and Blake Alexander, who you probably wouldn't expect to be in the semifinals, but Blake made his best run of the day in the semifinals against John. And then the easiest run of the day was actually Cruz, when Cruz had problems and shut off in the final. But John didn't back into this one. He definitely earned it.
And a few weeks back in Kansas, the John Force Racing guys had a little bit of spring in their step, a little swagger. They felt like they were getting close. They qualified 1, 2, 3. A few races later, Mike Neff mentions that their investigative portion of the season, some testing, some trying stuff, is over. They went back to something that was tried, true, and reliable. And sure enough, John goes out there, quickest run of eliminations, every run all day long.
He was fast. The car ran very well. You know, qualifying Friday night was like Disneyland for Funny Cars, with Del Worsham ending up on top. But, you know, John was right in the mix. And John wasn't just fast when it was nice out. He was fast when the sun was on the racetrack. And, you know, obviously you don't race 9 o'clock at night in most instances. So, you know, when all those track records were set and that number one qualifying spot was set, that wasn't the conditions we were going to race in. But John's car was fast no matter what the weather.
The Del Worsham 4008, that is unreal, and takes away quickest run of the season from Chad Head. Shows how strong that 401 at ZMAX was a couple of months ago.
Well, that was an incredible run that Chad made. And yeah, you're right. That's the quickest run of the year so far for Dell. I mean, it's tied for number 8 on the all-time quickest runs in the history of the sport. So it was great conditions out there. And Dell came up fairly early in the session when he put that 4 flat on the board. I was sitting in the tower going, maybe we'll see a 3. Saw a number of other 4-0s, but nobody else could sneak into the 3s. That's still a pretty stout run.
Looking at the ladder chart, John runs Matt Hagan in the second round, who is a champ, and they have battled for championships in the past. Blake Alexander, John has given credit to as being the future of NHRA funny car racing, and the kid certainly has got a good head on his shoulders and is building a team around him. Paul Smith knows how to get down a tricky racetrack and display those skills on this given weekend. But the final round, Cruz Pedregon and John Force. I hate to be the guy who's waxing nostalgic and all, but this is an epic battle. This is the drag racing equivalent of a Mickey Mantle and a Ted Williams matching up in a World Series. We won't see this final round too many more times in our lives. Force versus Pedregon, epic matchup. They have gone toe-to-toe, head-to-head for 20 years and have been an incredible matchup in final rounds with the overall lead going to John Force.
16-8 as of now, yeah, but that's in the finals. But 88 times that they've run overall, so pretty impressive stuff.
Very impressive, and my point, Alan, is that is an epic matchup that we should appreciate. It's not guaranteed to happen over and over again.
I appreciate it every time it comes to the line. You know, the battles that those guys have had, you know, John got out of the car in the semifinals and told Cruz, hey, this ain't 92. I'm coming after you this time. And, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that that was 20 years ago. But, you know, the two guys have a great history and a lot of respect between them, and it's always a major deal when they line up.
In the top fuel eliminator, Spencer Massey was the number one qualifier. Got a first-round bye run when Doug Herbert couldn't answer the call after his chute popped, backing up from the burnout. Torrance was number two, and that's kind of the way it's supposed to work out if you draw it up. Number one and number two qualifier matching up in the final round. Torrance went through Leah Pruitt, Sean Langdon, Clay Milliken, and then ran Spencer in the final round. With all the changes that they have made on that Capco Top Fuel team, and we'll hear from Steve coming up in a little bit, it's got to be very, very confidence-building to go out there to get a win.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely jacked up after that whole thing. You know, the car was running well last week or 2 weeks ago when we were out in Englishtown. They ended up not having any result to show for it, but it definitely was going in the right direction. And again, Friday night under the lights was when the qualifying field was set. But Steve's car was also pretty solid when the sun was out. I don't know that anybody would have said he was absolutely the favorite, but he was definitely among the favorites. And, you know, they just made it pay off on Sunday. They were steady. They didn't make a whole lot of mistakes. It was really a pretty terrific race. There wasn't a whole lot of tire smoke. There was a lot of runs that were flames up to the lights in both lanes, and you just had to rely on the scoreboards to tell you who got there first. But you look at, you know, the numbers throughout the course of the day, and, you know, you take second-round losers, ran 387, 388, 396, and then Langdon puffed the tires and ended up at a 420. But it was just terrific racing all day long. And, you know, no clear-cut favorite, but Steve's team didn't make any mistakes, and they got it done.
One thing that is a bit shocking to some, maybe shocking is a little bit of an extreme term, but the reigning Mellow Yellow World Champion, Antron Brown, first-round exit, 3 races in a row. And they have a bit of a points cushion, still 4th in the points, but chasing some gremlins over there at the Matco team.
I don't know that they're chasing his gremlins as much as they're trying stuff. They're, you know, when you qualify in the bottom half of the field like Antron did this week, run Tony Schumacher first round like Antron did this week, it's not going to be easy to advance out of there. You know, Antron made a run that would have outrun a number of the other cars in the first round. No, I take that back. He puffed the tires in the first round. But Antron, you know, don't panic. Those guys aren't panicking. They're not worried about it. Steve Torrance had lost 3 first rounds in a row until he won. Morgan Lucas had lost 3 first rounds in a row. he ended up in the semifinals this week with a very good car that looks like it could make some noise. So, you know, the competition level right now in Top Fuel is so high, you better have something figured out before we get to the countdown to the championship. And I think that's what those guys are doing right now, is trying to figure out some stuff that's going to help them later.
Leah Pruitt getting some television time over and over and over again with that massive explosion, just a monster explosion for the young rookie driver.
Yeah, that was a pretty big one that she had. But, you know, these cars right now, if you have a parts failure, if you have something, you know, they're pretty volatile. All the fuel that you're putting in them, you know, Tony Schumacher's probably explosion wasn't that big, but he leveled the top of the motor off of his Friday night when they had a parts failure inside the engine. So, you know, those things are just part of the sport right now. And as long as, you know, it doesn't hurt the drivers and nothing else happens, it, you know, we'll take a little good TV time here and there.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of thing that I know the teams certainly don't want it. But if someone's flipping through the channels and sees a fiery explosion like that, they might stick around to watch a little NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing. Moving over to Pro Stock, Mike Edwards, number one qualifier again, but lost second round in eliminations to Roger Brogdon on a tricky racetrack. Brogdon been making changes in the crew chief department, opening up his own engine shop with Steve Kemp, working hard in his 110th race, finally breaks through, taking out V. Gaines, Mike Edwards, Jason Line, and Erica Ender Stevens in the final round to finally pick up his first Wally.
Well, he was definitely living right on Sunday. I've got nothing but respect for Roger, but he was definitely living right on Sunday. Again, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, or I wouldn't necessarily, have considered him to be the favorite going in. You know, when you qualify right in the middle of the field, which is where he was, and then he got around V in a great race, round number one. Mike Edwards actually blew a motor up in round number two. It wasn't a tricky racetrack that bit Mike. It was a valve train failure. And then Jason Line about spun out in the semis. He let the clutch out and didn't get to the tree. And so, you know, Roger was living a little bit on the fortunate side of things. But in this sport, there are so many times that you have the bad luck go against you, and some days it just lines up and comes back. And then a great run between he and Erica in the final. And even, I was surprised he won that one. Erica certainly had the better car all day long. Her car slowed down a ton in the final round. When I watched him leave the starting line and there was only 5 thousandths between him, I said to myself, that's not going to be enough. And I actually said on the PA, I felt like Roger needed three on the tree to have a chance when they were 5 thou apart. I said, that won't do it. Well, that's why we race them, because sometimes it will.
And gets the job done. We'll hear from Roger Brogdon here on this edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. But just like that, race one of a grueling four-race stretch, we are underway. Race number two going to be in Epping, New Hampshire, the inaugural Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals, headed up to a track that we've never had a national event at. It's very interesting the way it's all working. I hear that the demand for tickets is extremely high. NHRA putting out a traffic flow notice to competitors and fans. I think that is a great idea. Basically saying, hey, folks, it's all new, it's all brand new, it's all fresh. Be ready and be understanding that we have got a lot of people coming to this facility.
I just, you know, we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. It's so important for us to make a good impression. And I think the weather forecast looks like it's going to be favorable. You know, I swung by the racetrack today, and a number of the teams are already in the staging area. They're not parked in the pits yet. The facility itself is kind of interesting. It's a little bit of an old-school look to it. But one of the things that New England Dragway staff and management was told they needed to do in order to have this event was to do some upgrades. And the first things on the list were track surface, pit paving, and concrete walls to make a good, safe facility and a friendly environment for the fans and for the racers. You know, we want to put on a good show. So, you know, there are other improvements coming in the future, but the track surface, the concrete walls were huge for the safety of the event and to ensure that the cars would be able to put on a good show. And of course, the paving in the pit area for the manufacturers midway in the pro parking will make it so much friendlier for the fans that are walking around in the pits. And there's long-term plans to make even more improvements as the years go by. So I'm looking forward to the first one. It's always fun to be at a first.
I am very excited as well. The last new track on the tour was Z-Max Dragway. And whenever you can show growth and expansion, especially in a media market that is Boston-dominated, basically in between Boston and New York, that is great. There is a fan fest going on Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. where there will be an autograph session. Driver's going to be out there. I think that is a very good way to introduce the stars of Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
Well, the fans up here, you know, have had NASCAR for a while, and I believe they've got an IndyCar race up here somewhere, but there hasn't ever been a drag race this close. And so, yes, getting the drivers out to be able to meet the fans, getting some cars on display so they can come take an up-close look at what the machines that they're going to see actually in competition, I think is huge. It just should be a great weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm jacked up and ready to go.
Can't wait to get up there and mix it up with all those Red Sox and Yankee fans. I don't know which ones are going to be representing more powerfully out there. I know they'll all be NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series fans, and very much looking forward to it. Alan, great job as usual. Any final thoughts coming out of Bristol?
Yeah, there were a couple of pretty big things in Bristol as far as the Lucas Oil Series. One was Anthony Bertozzi winning in Superstock, and I know that's not exactly like the front page headline news, wow, Anthony wins in Superstock. But for those of you that follow the sportsman racers closely and understand the way the points work, that's a perfect national claim now. He's got three national events going on his points claim this year, and if he just shows up at a couple of division races, he'll probably have a pretty good shot at putting the number one on that car again. And the other one was Marco Abruzzi. You remember Marco, who won top sportsman a couple weeks ago when we were up in Englishtown?
Yes.
You know what he did last weekend? Not yesterday, but last weekend?
No.
Well, he went out to Chicago for the Division III race and doubled up in Top Dragster and Top Sportsman on the rain-delayed event, and then came back and won Top Dragster again on Sunday at the Chicago event, and then he loaded all of the stuff up and headed down and won Top Sportsman again in Bristol. So you talk about a guy that's on a hot streak. Don't draw Marco Abruzzi in the early rounds or the late rounds or any rounds.
He is on fire, as they say.
Not many people win five races in 8 days.
No, that is monster performance right there. Marco Abruzzi and Top Sportsman. Very, very cool. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much. I will be on the announce staff at New England Dragway. Very much looking forward to taking in this inaugural event. So I will see you there in a couple of days.
Travel safe, and I will see you when you get here.
Thanks, Alan. See you there. The NHRA's Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Who's going to the Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals? I will be there, and if you are there, definitely tweet me, WFO Joe, and we'll like meet up. We'll hang out at least for a little while. I hear it's going to be wild. All right, let's get into it. Coming up on the show, the 15-time NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champion, John Force. We're going to sit down with John and speak with him about this massive victory, taking out Cruz Pedregon in the final round, his daughter Courtney on Father's Day. Lori gave him the car. Don't tell Courtney. I hope you win. I think Courtney probably knows. Just me kind of using my deductive reasoning ability to figure out that Courtney has probably figured out that the card was given, being that it was shown on ESPN2's coverage and all. But who knows? And after John, we're going to hear from Steve Torrance. Big decisions going on over in the Capco camp. Lee Beard comes on board and they score a win. Tough decisions by Steve Torrance. We're going to speak with Steve, talk to him about his huge win over Spencer Massey. Then we're going to move into pro stock, where Roger Brogdon, a friend of the show for a long time, Roger was running the WFO radio sticker years ago, goes out there and gets a win in his 110th start. Big win for Big Show and the guys that are working behind the scenes. Big win for Steve Kent and Roger Brogdon. We're going to hear from Roger on this show. And then we're going to turn our attention forward to the Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals. The GM, General Manager, Joe Lombardo, going to join us on the show. We're going to speak with Joe about what's up at the track. He's going to give us some insight into what we can expect. And then Rhode Island native Bob Tasca III, BT3, going to join us and talk a little bit about running his Motocraft Quick Lane Funny Car on the track that he has run every other car he has ever owned. We're going to get into it, so stick around. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with the 15-time NHRA Mellow Yellow champ, John Force, when we return right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Oil is going to find a way out when you put 50 pounds of boost right into the pan. And so, you know, we oil the racetrack a lot, and we cost ourselves somewhere around 70 points. I mean, this would be a non-interview if we hadn't have done that. I mean, you know, but that's NHRA Nitro racing. You know, these things are violent, they're crazy, they're loud, they're fast, and that's why we love them.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, following the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway Father's Day weekend, and you could not have written the script better. John Force collects his 135th career win, 26 seasons with at least one win, his fifth win at Bristol. Beats Courtney in the first round, and he joins us now. What's up, John? Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Well, you've been out here with us in that announcer's booth. You know what it's like when these fans go crazy. And it was Father's Day, and my daughters were here racing. It couldn't be a better time to get a win.
John, I got emotional. I got to tell you, I got emotional when you showed the card from your wife, and she said she was rooting for you on Father's Day weekend. Those of us who watch the TV show on A&E and all that know about the chaotic life you live. But to see that when you showed it, it was a very emotional moment.
I always said my wife, Lori, she loves me. She just don't like me. But she knows how hard we've been struggling. We've changed chassis. We've done everything we can to build a better race car, clutch programs. And I was fighting to get into the top 10, or I was 10th in the points. And I was amazed when she gave me the Father's Day card that said, "Don't tell Courtney, because I love her, but I want you to win today." And I was able to get around Courtney. She ran 12. I ran 4.11. We were the quickest cars on race day. She just happened to get a car a little bit quicker. That was me.
And what a race that was. So much has been made. There's so many different storylines, of course, surrounding you and your family. But when you have to race your daughter in the first round, Courtney, an emerging superstar in the sport, she really has what I call the want-to factor. She really wants to be there. She's putting in all the effort. She's got a great hot rod. And then you have to go take her out in the first round. How do you prepare yourself for that?
Well, I got to be a boss, and I got to be a driver, and I've got a job to do for Castrol. She's got a job to do for Draxus, Robert, with Auto Club. And you want to win. You got to make that countdown. She's way up there in the middle of the points, and she's safe, even though you never know, things can go bad. But right now, she was good, but she wants that points lead going into the countdown. And boy, I tell you, it was inches in the lights. I'm talking about 4 inches, they said, on the playbacks that I beat her by. In fact, when we get out of the car, because it was Father's Day, I think they ran to her to interview her, and I thought she had won. And then they came to me, and of course we both ended up in the interview, and it was really great for me as a dad. I'm really proud of her.
Speaking with 15-time NHRA Funny Car Champion John Force. John, how do you control your emotions? I've seen you do interviews over the years, and you are you wear your emotions and your heart on your sleeve. Your daughters are out there with you performing. They're successful. They're doing well. They're getting it. They're loved by the fans. You're out there. You're trying to be competitive. You're trying to go out and win another championship. Things seem really good right now at John Force Racing, and it's Father's Day weekend. How do you control yourself?
Well, it's love what I do, the fans, the energy. They wanted me to win the last couple of years here on Father's Day. A couple of times I was close. I couldn't get there. Car was running good, but we had struggled. But Mike Neff, our lead crew chief here, boy, had this thing where it, even though I went deep on that line, I did everything to beat those guys, my numbers might have came up a little soft. But she ran 11 or 12 every round. So good old Hot Rod. But then the emotion when you beat your daughter. But I saw her happiness for me, and that's what matters. Like I told her, if you can't learn, I said, you all think of me as a 15-time champ, but you don't know me when I was losing in the early days. And, I mean, it went on for years, not races. And so I know how to get back. We've changed so many things. I'm living in the gym, working out. In fact, when I got home, I'd worked out the night before. And on Saturday night, my wife said, Courtney went to the gym again, so I took off after her. I want to be right there with them young kids to be able to do the game and deliver for the sponsors. Bruton Smith gave us a great racetrack here at Bristol, like all of his tracks that he has. And the fans packed her in, and I just wanted to deliver. And I spoiled those fans and those sponsors. But I delivered on Father's Day for all of them, and I was pretty proud of that.
John Force with us here on WFO Radio. John, you took out Matt Hagen in the second round. An excellent race. Went in deep on Matt and were able to turn on the wind light. Then in the semis, Blake Alexander, you called him the future of the sport, and I certainly agree. Speaking of the want-to factor, the kid absolutely has it. And then Cruz Pedregon in the final round. First final against the Cruiser since 2007. You're 16-8 against Cruz in the final round. But what a day. Hagen, Blake, your daughter, and Cruz en route to victory.
Well, you got Schumacher's teams with Hagen. They're really tough. You got this young kid up and coming that's fighting every day for that win. And then you got a veteran like me, Cruz Pedregon. Hagen's deal, yeah, I went in deep, put out the top ball, killed our ET and only ran 16 and probably ran 12. But I knew that he could run right there with me. And if he did, those few inches could be the difference of winning. And I went after it to get that round win, and I was lucky enough to get it. He's a great competitor. Against the kid, Alexander, I told him in the media room, he's me 30 years ago, and my wife said, no, he's you 40 years ago, except he's a lot cuter. So, well, I just can't win with that wife. But he did a great job. He's learning the trade. And then in the final with Cruz, a guy that knows how to roll deep, knows how to play the game. We did it, and I got the win, and the rest is history. But I'm excited because I got me a race car now. We're out here today testing. Courtney's testing Brittany in the top fuel dragster. Brittany won first round. We got that three-rail dragster chassis, and it's 110 pounds heavy. And it still ran 82 qualifying, ran 86 first round. It's right in the hunt. She's only 5 foot tall. And yet the car is made out of three rails with all the safety, and it's really heavy. It's 110. We got a new chassis being built. Ford engineers are looking at it. It was big to win Ford's 110th, year in business. And even a NASCAR guy, they got the win there, and we got the win here at Bristol. So we're going to lighten that dragster, and we're going to give my girl a competitive race car.
I think she's doing very well, currently 12th in the point standings, but I'm not really judging her in terms of points. I'm judging her in terms of learning curve and how she seems to be advancing. She's having really strong reaction times. She's getting the car. She's been driving the wheels off the car in the lights sometimes. It'll make a move. She'll bring it back. What was your personal assessment of Brittany so far halfway through her first season after 10 events?
It's not just driving the car. It's learning the business, learning the trade. taking care of the media. She was in the paper every day. So was all of our teams. We got a great marketing group with Dave Dinsmore and Ethan Warner and the two young ladies that work with Brittany and Courtney. And that is the key to this business. Selling the product, making the fans love you. They're brand loyal to the products and to their drivers. And you've got to work that crowd. You got to work the media. I left Winter Circle. I was signing for over an hour after I left. I just couldn't get away. Didn't want to get away. Been so long. It's been 31 races since I got a win. I joked. I said, they want to make a T-shirt and call John Force extinct. But he's back in the game now, and I'm going to stay there.
Now, John, you bring up something that has been on my mind. You mentioned how I'm out there doing some track announcing this year, and I certainly love it. I'll be out there in New England this weekend and Chicago next weekend, so I'm very excited about it. But as I watch, as someone kind of coming into this sport, John Force is a one-of-a-kind guy. He's a total phenomenon, the most popular driver in the history of the sport to date. You've really captured the passion and the essence, all of those things. You know that. But you also seem to understand that Father Time is watching over you. You're getting a little older, and you're trying to set the table for the next generation, always pointing out the young drivers, giving them credit, building your own drivers. Looks like you're preparing. Who knows when it's going to happen, but you're preparing for drag racing without John Force to lean on. What is your thought about that?
I don't think. I love this sport. I love driving the car. That's my office. When the body goes down out on that start line, And I love the cheer of the crowd. Since I played Pop Warner football in fourth grade, I was never a very talented guy, but I was always motivated. I lived it. I gave 150%. One day I will have to walk away and be a team owner. My girls will be here in Robert Height, and I'm trying to grow my race teams. But, you know, it's like the Great Gatsby. I saw the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, and he made the statement that, I'm going to turn back time. And they told him, you can't do that. You can do anything you believe. And this race car does the running for me. And I'm going to stay in this seat as long as I can do the job, you know, for all these sponsors. But at the end of the day, when I can't, these kids out here work too hard not to have a driver that can do the job. There won't be a big retirement. There won't be a big old parade. When it's over, I'll just walk quietly away and go to the next job. I will still always be here with the fans and with my family and racing with NHRA because I love it. That's the way I look at it.
Now, you mentioned Richard Petty's 200 wins. Kind of an off-cuff comment, so to speak. 135 wins that you have, though, in a shorter season. And that Petty's 200 wins is a number that is magical. It's golden. It's like the Joe DiMaggio 56-game hitting streak. It's something that is virtually unattainable. And yet you force me to do some calculations. And if you can do, 6-7 wins for the next 10 years, you could get there. That might not be possible, but it really does illustrate what a big number 135 is.
Well, let me make this clear. First of all, I got to live 10 years, and this whole driving out here puts the pressure on you. I have to watch myself, stay in the gym, take my vitamins. I don't party anymore. I've got to stay in the game with these kids because they got that natural energy that I got to find on race day, and I do that with rest and working out and keeping my body in shape. But, you know, you got to set your goals, and if I can live long enough, maybe I'll reach 200. I doubt it. But let me tell you, that would be like catching Babe Ruth. And you know what? You're never going to take away what Richard Petty did. Wouldn't matter how many races I won. He did it in his time, and I did it in my time as a driver, and I'm trying to do it. I only said it as a joke because I set my goals after the people that I love and I respect. Richard Petty is the king, and I've always watched him. Earnhardt was my hero, the old man Earnhardt Dale, and old man, he's still younger than me. But that's where you set your goals, and that is the dream. That's what I chase, like Don Perdomo and Don Gartlett. So it ain't about reaching 200. I ain't ever going to reach that, but I'm going to keep trying because that's what it's all about. And just to be able to put his name in the same sentence as John Force, Richard Petty. I'm honored to do that, and if I never catch him, I don't care. But I want the fans to know, you love him, I love him, and I'm going to chase him till I drop.
I love the sentiment, and I think that the numbers are comparable due to the difference in schedule, time, and all of those things. Now, John, even as a 15-time champion, something new on the horizon for you this weekend, Epping, New Hampshire, New England Dragway. Later on in the show, we're going to speak with Joe Lombardo, the general manager up there. They are obviously very excited, a first-time NHRA national event. Do you have any experience up there? What do you know about New England Dragway, other than I hear they are NHRA? Are crazed up there in the New England area?
Yeah, you know, you look at one of these racetracks, it was 125 out here, and Mike Neff did a great job of tuning this car along with the team that put it together. But I come from the match racing days with Austin Coyle. I ran El Paso when the sand was blowing across the racetrack, and you had to drive the car at half throttle to get down there. That's where I learned my trade. Something that the new drivers today don't get an opportunity to test. They get to test, but they test on quality racetracks. But I raced at Epping in the early days. I know the conditions. I won match races there. I'm excited to go there. It's big because it's north of New York. You know what I mean? It's a huge market. They come out of Canada, and I've raced there, and I've got a fan following there. And I want to take my children back, Brittany and Courtney, where I came from, and show them what it was like racing with those guys up there. And, you know, you're a New England Patriot country. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to be fun for John Force because I love that place. They've upgraded it a bunch. I'm excited to go back with NHRA. Try to give me another win or one of my teammates gets a win.
And, John, you mentioned ninth in the point standings right now. Courtney is seventh. You're ninth. Robert is tenth. There's a pack of wild dogs nipping at your heels, of course, in the ever-competitive funny car class, but it looks like you are, quote-unquote, directionally correct, and Mike Neff has got the team really pointed in the right direction. Can you win championship number 16 here in 2013?
If I couldn't sit here and tell you that I could, even if I was dead in the cellar, the day I can't believe it, that's the day I'll quit. So I'm going to tell you yes, and if not, I'm going to shake the world trying, because that's my philosophy on it. Love it, do it, be a world shaker, I tell my girls, and they are. And so is Robert Hyde. He's out there right now on the racetrack. I think that was him just did a burnout. And Courtney will be coming right behind him. But I'm excited, love what I do, and it's all about the cheer of the crowd. They went nuts, everybody told me, when we won yesterday. All those fathers out there and their kids, and watching this old guy doing what he loves to do. I'm a really lucky guy. As long as I keep my head on right, stay humble, I'm going to fight the competition. It's the toughest I've ever seen in Funny Car and in Top Fuel. But John Force, he's coming.
John, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. Congratulations. First win of 2013, hopefully not the last. Fifth at Bristol, 135 for your career. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Always love doing these interviews, and hopefully we'll do some more this year. Thank you so much.
Good luck with your NHRA stuff. You're doing a great job, and I love your show, and thank you for having me on.
Thanks, John. John Force with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, the 15-time NHRA Mellow Yellow Champion. And get this, for 26 straight years, John Force has won at least one NHRA national event. That is absolutely massive. We're just getting started on this edition of NHRA Nitro. Stick around. We're still going to hear from Top Fuel winner Steve Torrence, first-time pro stock winner Roger Brogdon. We're going to head up to New England with New England Dragway general manager Joe Lombardo, going to tell us all about what's going to happen this weekend at the inaugural Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals. And Bob Tasca III is going to talk about racing his Motorcraft Quick Lane Nitro Funny Car for the first time at his home racetrack. But when we come back, we're going to hear from NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart to break down all the behind-the-scenes action from the Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Stick around.
This is WFO Radio. The one, the only, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You got to keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFORadio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear, like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad, get a hat for your head, or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO Radio gear is on sale at WFORadio.com. Get some.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The Ford Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway was awesome. Great side-by-side, close racing down there in Thunder Valley for Father's Day weekend, and we're going to continue to hear from the winners. Then later on in the show, we're going to look ahead at Epping, New Hampshire, the first ever NHRA New England Nationals. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Race two of a four-race stretch. And joining us now, this past weekend's winner in the Top Fuel Eliminator, Steve Torrance. Steve, welcome back to WFO. Congratulations.
Hey, Joe. Good to be back. It's been a long time since we talked to you guys, and you know, it's definitely a welcome conversation for sure.
You have been through a lot, and I think this is a great way to kind of wrap it all up with a win, the roller coaster ride that you have been on since the countdown last year. Really, you had a career year, you burst onto the scene, you won three races, and then went through a bit of a dry spell and had to make some very tough, I'm sure, gut-wrenching decisions to get to this point.
Yeah, you know, we did. And the like you said, you know, we struggled through the countdown last year. We've struggled through the first of this season this year. We made some changes. We, you know, unfortunately had to let Richard Hogan go just to go in a different direction. And we brought on Lee Beard. Lee has really come in. All the crew guys have accepted him really well. The morale, the attitude of the team is great. And, you know, this weekend was huge for us, you know. I mean, for morale, for confidence, just across the board, you know, it boosted the whole team a lot. And we've been needing that, you know. We've been struggling. But to go out there and consistently go up and down the track in the hot conditions, and, you know, some of the cars that we beat were some dang good hot rods. So, you know, definitely boosted everybody's confidence in the car and the team. And It's good going into a four-race swing with winning the first one, you know.
Steve Torrance, driver of the Capco Top Fuel Dragster, with us here on WFO Radio. Qualified second, Steve. We're going to go into your round by round, but one final thought on the crew chief change and all that that took. I often look to you for insight because you're a driver, you're an owner, you're a businessman. You carry a lot of the pressure on your back. You carry a lot of the wear a lot of different hats in this. And I know Richard was a friend, and I also know that you and Richard teamed up together for your first wins. And so that had to be a bond that will be there forever and ever. And then at some point, you have to make difficult business decisions. How did you work through that personally? I'm sure it had to be tough.
Yeah, it was very tough. You know, Richard Hogan and I have been friends far before we started the race team. He led us a long ways there, you know, and I have a lot of respect for Richard. He took us to our first three wins as a team, five finals. Two of those we didn't win. It was my fault. I red lighted one and I was late in the other. So, you know, it's just the way that it goes. But the whole deal is, you know, we did need to make a change. We were able to separate friendship and look past it a little bit and just look at the black and white side of it and say that it is business and we needed to go in a different direction. So very, very difficult decision, hard to do, but, you know, it's the way that we needed to go with our operation. We needed to make a change to get the car running good and get back in that top 10. And I think Lee Beard is a good fit for our race team, for our organization. And you know, he's put in a lot of hard work and dedication to get us where we're at, and it's paid off.
And I think that is the ultimate answer, is when you look at the results and the fact that you went out there and you won pretty rapidly since Lee came on. You're now in the top 10 in points, sitting ninth, and that has to be the ultimate justification. You're out there working your tail off. Folks, Steve's already back at work this week in between national events. If you're going to go out and do this family-owned Top Fuel dragster going up against the big dogs here, you really need to produce results.
Yeah, you do. And, I mean, you know, we're a single-car team. We're racing against, you know, the likes of Schumacher and Alan Johnson over there with the Allanabi cars. And, you know, Vandergrift's got two most of the time, or two all the time, and sometimes three. So it's really a pretty good deal to be able to go out there and run with you know, those multi-car teams.
All right, let's look into your round-by-round at the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Qualified second in the first round, had to go up against Leah Pruitt, who has been experiencing some massive explosions but got a lot of television time for it this past week. Ran 383.3, a very solid run. Your low ET of the day in that first round. Then second round, you stopped Sean Langdon. Langdon has been so tough to this point, and you were able to get by him. Talk about your preparation for Langdon in round two.
Well, you know, the first round matchup with Leah, that was, you know, that was a pretty sketchy matchup. You know, they haven't run well through qualifying, but that car did run really very well in Topeka, and we knew that was a pretty good, you know, pretty good race car. And Leah's always on the tree, so that was a good matchup. Going into second round against Langdon, we knew we had our hands full for sure. I mean, Langdon's the best lever in the class, and Alan Johnson over there making the tuning calls on it with Brian Houston and all those guys. I mean, we knew we had to bring our A game, but I think also they knew that we were going to come pretty strong too. And, you know, Sean left on me on the tree. He was 50, I was 70, but they went out there and smoked the tires and we went A to B. And that's just hats off to Lee Beard for getting the car up and down a pretty hot racetrack. And sometimes when you run fast, you make the other guy beat themselves.
In the semifinals, you matched up with Clay Milliken. And if there is a hungrier driver out there, I don't know who it is. I know everybody is very hungry, and the most possible level of hungriness that you can have, I'm sure yourself in that category. I know Clay is in that category. He is dying for a win. You were able to get around Clay with a 389.2 at 314 and make it into the final round. And at that point, the track was very tricky. It was a matter of a veteran savvy getting down the racetrack, and I think that's where Lee Beard could really show his expertise.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like you said, Clay Milliken is definitely hungry for one. The guy's been multi-time champion in IHRA, not been able to close the deal yet and win an NHRA national event. So, you know, that team is running well. It's just a matter of time before they get it done. You know, Clay's an awesome driver, and, you know, that's a pretty good team over there, and the car's been running exceptionally well. So, you know, that round was pretty big for us. You know, they were low the round before, I believe, with an 82. Don't quote me on that. I'm not for sure.
I have the ladder. I am checking it, and you are absolutely correct. And not just by a little bit, by quite a bit. The second quickest round run in that round was you with the 385.
Yeah, so, I mean, that car was running really well all day. And, you know, just like Langdon, Clay is a good lever on the tree, too. So, you know, everybody had to be on their game this weekend. And getting past that round was every round this weekend was huge for us because we were stacking points up, and we're wanting to win races, we're wanting to get those gold men, but most importantly, we need to get ourselves in that top 10, and that way we can contend for the championship at the end of the year.
Final round matchup against Spencer Massey, one of the Don Schumacher Racing entries. So, you know, when it comes to equipment, when it comes to parts, brain power, brain trust, they have it all. Plus, Spencer is a great driver that you had to mix it up against. Plus, one of your Texas natives. It was an all-Texas final round in Pro Stock and in Top Fuel. We'll be hearing from the Pro Stock winner, first-time winner Roger Brogdon, coming up a little bit later on in the show. But an all-Texas final round, you and Spencer, take me through your preparation.
Well, you know what? I mean, that one right there, that one had a little bit of bragging rights on the line. The two Texas boys going into Tennessee. Who's going to leave with the gold man? But I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder from Norwalk. You know, they beat us there the last time we were in the final, so I didn't want him to get too far ahead of me on those final round win losses. So you know, it was a fun race. Spencer's always fun to race. He's got a good attitude, and you know, like you said, that's a pretty dominant team over there. They've contended for the championship the last two seasons in a row and just come up just a little bit short. So, you know, anytime you race one of those Schumacher cars, you got to be on top of your game. But this weekend, you know, Lee Beard and my boys, they had that hot rod ready to go. Capco came to the top.
Now that you've got Lee Beard, or maybe the better way to say it is, with Lee Beard taking care of the crew chiefing duties and the car is running well and you're in the final round, does that free your mind, Steve, to really focus? And where do you go with that focus? As you're walking around, there's only two cars firing up in the pit area. You hear them, they hear you, you're focused on what's going on. But you as the driver, you know what you got to do. You got to go through your process, you got to stage it up. Are you thinking about how Spencer is going to handle staging and what you might do if he does something, roll deep, whatever? How are you preparing yourself mentally? Are you psyching yourself up? Are you calming yourself down? What are you doing as you get ready for the final round and ultimately strap into that race car and pull those belts tight?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't really try to get too psyched up. I usually tend to try to stay calm. And, you know, like I said, the three rounds before the final, we had a pretty good race car. It went A to B every time. I was decent on the tree, so I was confident going into that final round. And I was just, you know, I was super pumped that we'd made it that far. So, I mean, we'd gained a lot of points. We'd achieved what we went into the race trying to do was go some rounds and get back into that top 10. So when we went into the final, I mean, we were having a good time. The team was in a great mood. Lee was in a good mood. Everybody was excited that we had just, you know, we'd made up some ground that we had lost earlier in the year. So went into that final round completely concentrating, focused on what we had to do, not worrying about anything else in the other lane, because, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do, I'm going to do what I got to do, and I had a job to do, and that was take off first and drive to the end. So, I mean, I gave it my best shot at the tree, kept it as straight as I could, and, you know, 300 foot before the finish line, I knew I couldn't hear him as close as he was when we left, so I knew I was ahead, and I'm looking at that wall as I passed the cones looking for that light to come on, and it seemed like it took 10 seconds, but, you know, finally that wind light came on our side, and it was just, you know, a whirlwind of emotions.
Father's Day weekend, I know you and your father are very tight. he's out there running super comp at a lot of races while you're running Top Fuel, which I think is very cool that your dad is actually able to focus on his own deal running in the 890 class while you're out there running Top Fuel. I think that is, it demonstrates his passion for drag racing. What was it like to be able to hoist the Wally on Father's Day?
It was unbelievable. I mean, like you said, I'm really, really close with my dad. My dad's my best friend. I talk to him about everything, and to have the opportunity to call him after every round and say, "All right, man, we're going to the next round, and you know, hopefully we're going to make this a good Father's Day for you." And to call him as soon as I got out of the car and got back in the Suburban, you know, I called and said, "Happy Father's Day," and you know, it was just awesome experience and something I'll never forget, being able to tell my old man that we won Bristol 2013 on Father's Day, you know. But with all that being said, for everybody that watched the coverage, you know, my assistant crew chief, Tony Durhammer, lost his father Sunday night of Englishtown. It was more important that I gave him the trophy that, you know, because we're not everybody's as fortunate to be able to call their fathers on Father's Day and go give them a hug or whatever and tell them what they appreciated them for. So, you know, he was really close with his dad, and that's just been a tough time around the shop and at the racetrack all weekend for him. So to be able to do that, that was the best part of it.
And a very, very nice gesture and a very cool thing. These guys who are working behind the scenes, maybe they don't get the stardom or the attention, but they're definitely out there doing it for the love and the passion of being involved with NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. I thought that was a very cool thing. Steve, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Before we move on, though, give me your thoughts on Epping, New Hampshire, an inaugural race, first time ever for the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series up there in New Hampshire.
You know, really excited to go there. It's great for us as you know, Capco's coming into Epping on a win. We've got a little bit of confidence. Hopefully we can carry some momentum into that race. And everybody's going to be trying as hard as they can to be the first winner at the Epping race. So, you know, that's going to be bragging rights, and that's going to go down in the book as you're the first guy to win the race there in Epping. So we're all going to be gunning for it pretty hard.
Steve, congratulations once again. Monster win and a big-time comeback after all you've been through. And the season, now we're in the second half of the regular season. Got to make a charge and get up in the points. You're currently ninth, but definitely moving in the right direction. Congratulations and good luck this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Good talking to you.
Steve Torrens with us here on WFO Radio and that Capco team. Last year, we spoke with Steve three times, and they went into the countdown, but struggled, came out of the box here in 2013, also with more struggles. And that's when you realize the very difficult nature of this sport, people and personalities and chemistry, and sometimes it's working and sometimes it's not working. And you switch a couple and move some parts and pieces around on the chessboard, and suddenly it starts working again. Lee Beard certainly looking to show his strengths out there with the Capco team, and it works out with a win over Spencer Massey on Father's Day at the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. And a big congratulations to Steve as well. I like seeing Steve do well because he's one of the young guys and an underdog story, frankly. Single car team, family-owned team, going up against the likes of Don Schumacher Racing and Alanabi Racing and John Force Racing out there in the world of NHRA Top Fuel. And for them to be getting it done and making some noise, it is absolutely huge. Thanks to Steve for coming on the show. Great first hour of the show. Now we're going to move on as we get ready to talk a little pro stock. First-time winner in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, Roger Brogdon, going to be joining us. And then getting ready for a little Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals, an inaugural event, the first new racetrack on the tour since Z-Max Dragway. This is going to have a totally different feel. You heard AR a little bit earlier talking about the attitude of the track and how it feels. Well, we're going to speak with Joe Lombardo. He's a general manager of the place and going to tell us all about the work that is ongoing and everything that is happening there to prepare for this massive NHRA crowd that is going to be there this weekend. Of course, I'm going to be out there, so make sure to tweet at me. You can also follow WFO Radio on Twitter, WFO Radio, or me, WFO Joe. Of course, we've got our Facebook page. And this is a great time to remind you about the WFO Radio application for iPhone and for Android. It's absolutely free. And get this, we are closing in on 30,000 app downloads. It's going to happen any day, any second, any minute, any moment. It could have already happened by the time you hear this. So get that WFO Radio app, and you can hear all the shows, all the interviews. Check out our video show, Test Drive, everything we've got. Check it out on the WFO Radio app. When we come back, Roger Brogdon going to join us right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Fast Jack Beckman. Jack, welcome back to WFO Radio.
God, do I love talking to you, Joe.
It's synonymous with victory, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, three times this year. And like we were just chatting, I love coming on your show because it gives me an opportunity to kind of step away from the race car for a little bit, talk a little less formally, and maybe bond a little bit more with some of the fans on a personal level where they can feel a little bit more attached to our team and to our sport in general.
The reason that we started the show, because drag racers need that opportunity. NASCAR guys have it everywhere, and that's why they've been able to grow, is because the fans feel so connected, because they get more than a two-minute soundbite. And to hear you say that makes me feel great about just the whole process we've been through the past 3 years.
Mission accomplished, and don't ever stop, Joe. Thanks again, buddy.
The stars of drag racing, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's great to be on your show, man. Every time I'm on your show, brother, I know on WFO, I know we did something good.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hour number two here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, following the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, following up the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals in Bristol, Tennessee. Bristol, baby, where Father's Day weekend was awesome. We had a first-time winner in the NHRA Pro Stock category, and he joins us now, Roger Brogdon. Roger, welcome back for your first WFO Radio winner's interview. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was a hell of a day, I can tell you. Everybody did a great job, and we're still trying to soak it all in.
Now, you've been on this show many times just because I think you're a great personality, a good story. You've been fighting and clawing, but we've never done one of these winner's interviews. You made the final round in 2011, lost just a very close race to Vincent. You have tried many different angles. The crew has been working hard, and you finally broke through. You are now a winner on the Mellow Yellow Series Tour. What does it feel like?
Well, it feels incredible. I really can't hardly put it into words. Been working for this for years now. Sitting up, tons of money, and, you know, sacrificed a lot of family time. It's still soaking in, like I said, but it feels fantastic. I don't mind telling you. It's a great day for me, Steve Kent, and all the guys that work for us.
I want to get into the details of the day, but I am now reflecting on the conversations that we have had and the amount of effort you have put into your businesses. And I don't want to say success has come easily for you, but you have been successful through a lot of hard work and hours put in. We've talked about your daily schedule, getting up at 5 a.m., working all day. And when you got into this pro stock deal, jumping from competition eliminator to pro stock, did you think it was going to be this hard to accomplish this goal?
Well, I knew it was going to be hard. Of course, you never know exactly how hard anything's going to be, whether it's a business or you know, starting a pro stock team. But, you know, we have been doing this for quite a few years now, and it's just incredible that we were able to win a race this soon. We really thought we'd win one or two races this year, but we had a lot of difficulties when we first came out because we kept breaking engines so much. You know, between the Phoenix, the Pomona and Phoenix race, we hurt five engines, so we had to send all those back. So just to get them repaired and get ready to go to the next races, and so we spent a lot of what we were hoping for R&D time and new product development, basically, efforts were put to keeping the stuff we had running, you know, and making a little bit of improvements on stuff we had, but it took a lot longer. And to date, I'd say we're at least 30 to 60 days behind where we had thought we'd be in our engine development just because of the issues, unforeseen problems we had when we first got this deal going. But we're still headed down the right path. We're making some good improvements in our engine shop and the way we're running our race car. So, but we knew it would be difficult to get back to your question. And to win one already, I know a lot of guys went to a lot of finals before they actually won one. And you know, I'm 1-1 in my finals now. It could very easily been 2-0, but it's just something we approach just like we do our regular businesses at home. And to win one, you know, being 10 races into a new season with our own engine program, it's pretty incredible, I don't mind telling you.
Roger Brogdon, driver of the Protect the Harvest Chevrolet Camaro in Pro Stock. 110 races, gets his first win this past weekend at the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Roger, it was not an easy day, starting off coming out of the number 8 qualifier spot, going up against number 9, V Gaines. You're able to get around V, and then in the second round, Mike Edwards, who has been absolutely unstoppable both this year and 2013, and at Bristol Dragway. Let's focus in on that run. You had a 19 reaction time, 000 being perfect, folks, and ran a 6.72.4 at 2.06. Mike had problems at that point. Tell me about your before facing Mike Edwards and after beating Mike Edwards attitudes, because when you beat Mike Edwards, that's a major accomplishment.
Yeah, you know, Mike's definitely the cream of the crop out there right now. He has been. You know, he's never not been, you know, someone to contend with. But, you know, we knew we had to do good on the tree. As a, you know, we didn't know exactly how many, but I figured we needed 400 or 500 to make it close. We really thought we could go out there and go 71 or 72, and that would make him have to go a 67. So I had four going by the tree, and fortunately for us, he had some trouble, but I think it would have been close down at the finish line anyway.
In the semifinals, you had to go up against Jason Lyne, a two-time champion, has been pretty strong this year and resurgent. They seem to be getting some momentum right now and able to take down Jason in a run that he was silly sideways and had to give up on it. You were also all over the place. Tell me about the driving experience. You're banging the gears, getting down the quarter mile, ran 6.77.77, but I think that's an example of just getting it from start to finish can sometimes turn on the wind light.
Yeah, the track was real tricky this weekend. I might have already said that. We didn't have lane choice. We had lane choice the first round. That was it. And the rest of the day, we got stuck in the same lane, the left lane. And Jason had just went 71 up in the round before, and I went 72, whatever it was. So we knew it was going to be close. If we could get off the starting line ahead, it was going to be a good race. And we both got squirrely. I was just able to keep mine under control. I think he went 103.60 foot, so he was a little bit worse than me. But, you know, it would have been close with the race again. But thank goodness So we caught another break there.
Now you turn on the wind light, you come back, you and the guys, Brian Self and Pete Smallwood, Big Show, of course, Steve Kent. You guys are looking at each other thinking, we are in the final round. You're going to go toe-to-toe with Erica Enders-Stevens, who has her own demons at this racetrack that she would like to exercise, chasing sponsorship and whatnot. But mm-hmm. she is standing in the way of you and your first victory. Tell me about those pre-final round preparation meetings. What were you guys talking about?
We're just getting ready. You know, we went up there just not as Erica, just like anybody else. We knew we was going to have to go up there and run our best, but we knew how the track was, and we figured 73 might be the best we can go. You know, and the track was so bad, it was hard to get a light. As soon as we unclutched it, the cars just blow the tires off of it. So, you know, we're shooting for 73 and went 74, and actually ended up driving around her because she beat me a little bit on the tree. But it was a crazy run right there because when I left the starting line and I went to second gear, I looked down at the finish line and I seen a light on the side. And it was right in the area where you use the light. A lot of people might not know it, but as the racers go past the finish line, there's a light actually on the wall that tells you whether you win or lose. And I see a light on down there. So instead of concentrating on what I'm supposed to be doing, I see that light because I'm thinking a red light. Then as I'm going down the track, I'm still shifting and I'm thinking, man, I know I didn't red light, and all this stuff's going through your head. It's amazing how fast your brain can think. Because then I look up the scoreboard, which I hadn't looked at all weekend long because I hadn't seen a single car go down the track, and I didn't see her light on, so I kept shifting. But then, you know, the thought did cross my mind to shove the pedal in because I thought I might have red lighted when I seen that light on. Come to find out, that was an SUV parked down there at the end of the right past where we normally go at the end of the track with her headlights on, and that's what I was seeing.
Wow.
But when I went across the finish line, my guys didn't say nothing to me. So now I'm thinking, well, maybe I did red light. Then my light came on my side of the wall. But nobody's talking to me. So I make the turn down there, and again, if you win, when you turn on these things, when it's on Sunday, I always pull the winners over to the left to get them close to the camera, and the guys who didn't win go to the right. Well, all the NHRA guys were trying to pull me way over to the right, so now again, I'm thinking I lost again. Then Rob Geiger jumps in front of him and makes me go back over to the left. So I actually, through my head, won and lost that race about 8 times from the time I left the finish line to actually got stopped at the end of the track. It was very emotional. I come to find out my radio got unplugged. That's why I couldn't hear my guys hollering at me.
That is a great story. Not great that you had to go through the emotional roller coaster. But
it was driving me crazy.
But
like I said, I won and lost the same round about 8 times in about 15 seconds.
So glad you didn't push in the clutch.
It crossed my mind more than once, you know, because it's my own engine. You know, I want to take care of it. You know, I ain't going to run it down through there for nothing. But nobody was saying nothing. And I looked at the big scoreboard, and I didn't see none of the lights on. It couldn't, like I said, it was a SUV parked at the track with its headlights on is what I ended up seeing.
Valuable lesson learned.
Whew, yeah.
What was the party like or celebration right after you've done your responsibilities, you speak with the media, you go up on stage? First-time winners are always so celebrated in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And then when the crowd kind of dies down and you're just standing there by yourself holding your Wally, looking at Steve, thinking, we did it, we did it. What was that experience like?
It's all worth it. That's everything crossed, all the hard work. All the money we spent, I'm not going into that, but you know how much money this cost. It's all worth it. You know, it's, and you know, I got all the guys together, you know, we just want everybody to know how much I appreciate them. And it's a team win, you know, we've always been about that because I've screwed up more than they have, but you know, they always 100% behind me and I'm 100% behind them, but, it was a great day for everybody and it's just such a serious emotional boost for our team, you know, because we all knew we were heading in the right direction, and to get a win this early, being in our own, you know, having 100% control of everything, it can't get any better than this. Great.
Well, it actually can. This weekend, the inaugural Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals, first time the NHRA is going up to Epping, New Hampshire, starting off a back-to-back-to-back-to-back series of racing. We'll be in Chicago, we'll be in Norwalk, starting off this 4 weeks in a row with a momentum win like you did. Where can this team go? What can this team do? You're now 10th in the points, and looking at the point standings, there are pretty much 10 drivers battling it out. I know you don't want to just win races. I know you want to win championships.
Yeah, it's great momentum. But, you know, to get that monkey off your back, because we were close like that one year in Houston. But now we can win. We know we can. We always knew we could win, but until you do it, you got to have doubts. That's just with anything in life, until you actually do what you're trying to do, you'll doubt yourself. But now we have no more doubts. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great, I wouldn't say turnaround, just a push, because we were headed in the right direction already. So, yeah, we're anxious to get there. And so we'll fly in there Thursday afternoon and try to do it all over.
And how important was the test session that you guys had at Bristol Dragway prior to this race? I have heard people say that testing is really the key. The more runs you can make, the better you get. It advances the learning curve. You guys made 9 runs over the course of 2 days, and right after you go out and win. Does that mean you're going to be trying to test more?
Well, I don't know if we can test any more than we already do. You'd be surprised. We go test. We probably make, after the season starts, we'll make 150 runs a year testing. So I don't think we'll say we're going to test any more or test any less. But that test session in particular was very vital to this win, because the difference between our car when we first made that first test run on that Tuesday morning to when we made the last one Wednesday afternoon, our car was so much better going over those bumps. That track's like running down a washboard. It's really, really bumpy. And, I got to thank Adam at Penske Shocks for helping us out. He spent a couple of days over there helping us, and the overall effort was tremendous. And, you know, in an honest opinion, if we hadn't had that test session, I don't think we'd have won this race.
Well, you did. You held the Wally at the end of the day. You're now 10th in the point standings, and the momentum is building behind your team. I know you and Steve have really worked hard. And through my friendship with some of your guys, like Big Show and some of you guys on your crew, I know how much time, hours, blood, sweat, tears have been put into this effort to accomplish this goal. So, Roger, congratulations to you and your guys. I know this is what you wanted. You got it done. I'm sure the first of many, but this one will always be special. And thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio and sharing it with us.
All right, buddy. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Roger Brogdon with us here on WFO Radio. So great to see those guys collect a Wally. I know how much time and effort they have been putting in. I'm sure the party was awesome. Can't wait to ask Big Show and those guys about it this weekend out there in Epping. But they deserve it. You spend all the time, the money, the effort, the blood, the sweat, the tears out there trying to make it. And it wasn't a dominating victory, but who cares? It was a victory. They turned on 4 win lights and walked out of the track undefeated. And that's what it's all about. And just like Roger says, they now have renewed confidence and momentum going forward. They're going to take this. Those checks are going to come. They're going to feel very happy about it. And confidence and motivations are the keys to success. And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more success in their future, especially with Roger and Steve Kent being so successful in their regular lives. And there you have it, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals Winter Edition. I hope that a lot of our WFO Radio audience members were out there at the track having fun, checking it out with your dad, with your mom, checking out that top-end viewing area. The folks from Bristol were very cool coming on board as a sponsor here on WFO Radio, and hopefully the WFO Radio audience were out there in full force. But now the tour moves on. Race 2 of a 4-race back-to-back-to-back-to-back stretch. This weekend, we're headed to Epping, New Hampshire for the inaugural Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals. This is a track that's been there since 1966, and it's got a lot of cool details about it. I could tell you about it, or we could get General Manager Joe Lombardo on the phone to tell us both about it. I think it is so cool going up to the Boston market. All I can say is this, at the Gator Nationals every year, and everybody who listens to this show knows that the Gator Nationals is the race that I have attended the most every year since 1980, nonstop, straight through till right now, all Gator Nationals. And for years, we sat next to some Bostonians, I think is the way you say it. And they used to tell us how they loved coming to Gainesville, but they hoped that someday they could hit an event in their hometown because they love racing. You've heard me say a few times on this show that that part of the country is drag racing crazed, that they love it. I'm not making that up. This is what these guys told me. There was like eight of them that all come down to the Gator Nationals from Massachusetts. And they would give us the whole behind the scenes and how much everybody loves it and everybody's into it. And even people that aren't into it are into it. Cool stuff. Well, now those guys. I'm thinking about you guys. If you're out there listening, you guys got your own national event. And it's going to grow. There's going to be growing pains. There's going to be figuring out the best way to do things and traffic flow and get in early. If you're going to the race, I would just say this. There is no better sport to get to early. There's no better sport. You get to a baseball game extremely early, you might see batting practice, which is kind of cool. You get to a football game extremely early, I guess you could tailgate. That's kind of cool. You get to a basketball game extremely early, I don't really know. You sit in the parking lot and just kind of look at the arena. But in an NHRA race, you can do all of those things. You can tailgate, you can hang out, but most importantly, you can go in and watch the pits awaken. And the guys come out and start working on the cars and firing up the cars and roll the cars out of the trailers and make things happen. And it's just so exciting. So I would get there early and stay there late. That's what I do. And I think it will be a great thing this weekend. When we come back, General Manager of New England Dragway, Joe Lombardo, going to join us. So stick around. But first, I want to tell you about the folks at Wilson Manifolds. Are you a bracket racer? Are you a competitive racer? Are you in one of these series out there and you're trying to find half a horsepower, 5 horsepower, just to get ahead of the competition? Well, Wilson Manifolds can help you out. They have helped NASCAR Cup champions, in fact, champions in the Cup Nationwide and Truck Series. They have helped champions in NHRA Pro Stock. They have set records in just about all major series. And if you know anything about engines, you know that the intake manifold is very important, as in extremely important, when it comes to making horsepower. Go to WilsonManifolds.com and check them out. Check out what they do. And I've known these guys for a long, long time. Back to my track championship racing days at Moroso Motorsports Park in West Palm Beach. I know exactly how attention to detail oriented they are. And you will get the same customer service and technical support available to the pros. That is their deal. Whether it be Cup Series action or NHRA Pro Stock, they treat you just like they treat the pros. Check them out at WilsonManifolds.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
What is this?
This is WFO Radio.
You are Matt Hagen'd out, head to toe, diehard Matt Hagen.
Well, I needed a hero, but I just couldn't find one. One that met my standards, that, you know, that I thought had it all. Everything about him. Plus, he's the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life.
Matt Hagen, Shirley Muldowney approved.
Hi, this is Matt Hagen, driver of the diehard Nitro Funny Car, 2011 champion. You're listening to WFO.
WFO Radio is worldwide. Racing fans from 51 countries and 6 continents have signed on to the best racing show in the world, WFOradio.com.
I fly light, pack a gas, high light planes. If you catch me at the border, I go visit them and then. If you come around here, I'll make them all day.
WFO Radio, and now it's time for our Look Ahead segment brought to you by Redline Oil. And joining us now, he's the general manager of New England Dragway, getting ready for the Auto Plus New England NHRA Nationals, the inaugural first ever NHRA National event held up there in New England, where they are drag racing crazy. They absolutely love it. And this event, from what I understand, the tickets are going like gangbusters. Well, let's find out as we are joined by Joe Lombardo. Joe, welcome to WFO Radio. How are you?
Crazy, but it's a good kind of crazy.
Busy?
We're extremely busy. We're thrilled at the advanced ticket sales. I mean, people have really been waiting for this event for decades. We're happy to go ahead and bring it to them. And this is really going to change the course of history for New England Dragway and the sport of drag racing in the Northeast, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of your facility and New England drag racing, because from what I understand, this track was built in 1966, mostly by racers for racers. In fact, that is your motto. Tell us a little bit about the history of New England Dragway.
Well, what happened back in the 50s, the New England Hot Rod Council got together. They were comprised of a lot of different car clubs in the New England region. And what they did is they raced up at Sanford, Maine at the airport up there, and they brought in portable timing equipment and so on. And the sport was just growing so fast that they really decided that, you know, we need to have a permanent home. We can't keep doing this at an airport. So around 1965, they finally found a piece of land that would actually go ahead and be suitable for the purposes of a drag strip. And they combined 3 parcels, actually. And the New England Hot Rod Council essentially disbanded and formed New England Dragway, Inc. All of the races that were part of the council were given the option to be shareholders in the track. And most of them became shareholders, and then they were also the people responsible for building the facility so that it was opened on September 11, 1966.
So when you guys say built by racers for racers, you literally mean that racers are the shareholders of the company, it's owned by racers, and this is basically by racers for racers.
That's correct, and that's exactly what it is. A lot of those original shareholders are still involved with the drag strip. A lot of them have lost interest, and so they've turned their shares over to family members. So we have a second generation coming out now. But we're still owned by racers, and we still live to that motto, built by racers for racers. Almost everybody here that's working at the track in some way, shape, or form has raced, whether it be in the sportsman ranks. A couple of people have raced professionally over the years, but everybody's involved knows the sport of drag racing and absolutely loves it.
Joe Lombardo with us, general manager of New England Dragway, getting ready for their inaugural Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals. This weekend, race 2 of a grueling 4-week stretch on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series Tour. Joe, tell me a little bit about the popularity of the sport of NHRA drag racing in the northeastern United States. We just had a race in Englishtown, New Jersey, that was extremely well attended. Obviously, Old Bridge Township Raceway Park, very well known. Very popular amongst the New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania crowd. What about a little further north? I know that each year in Gainesville at the Gator Nationals, I run into a lot of New Englanders that come down for the East Coast opener, but they were so excited to be able to race in their home region. Tell me, how popular is NHRA drag racing up there?
It's extremely popular. I mean, I know for myself growing up as a kid, I mean, I was raised on NHRA. That's all we ever knew. You know, a lot of my counterparts and people that I grew up with They grew up with NHRA drag racing. So it is a very popular sanctioning body up here. In fact, more popular than any other racing in the New England market. So in that aspect of it, it is extremely popular. But what has really amazed me is the outpouring of support, and you really see that that's evidenced by the ticket sales for the NHRA event. You know, we've hosted some big events in the past, and people have been very happy with it, but we knew that once we started moving down the NHRA road and we brought in a divisional race and saw the popularity of that, we were absolutely convinced that a national event would just be off the charts.
So what can people who are attending this first race expect? It's been a little while since a new race has been added to the tour, and so every track has its own unique characteristics. Some are brand new, like Z-Max Dragway and Palatial, the Bellagio of drag strips. Others have that down-home feeling, like Reading, Pennsylvania, where you're going back in time, but it's character, kind of like a Fenway Park kind of feel. What are the unique characteristics of New England Dragway?
Well, I think you're going to find that we're similar to Maple Grove in that respect, in that it is an older racetrack, obviously, from 1966. A lot of the older facilities are still here. You know, the old tower is still here, and we're using that this year. You know, plan is to expand that for next year. But just the flavor of New England Dragway being that typical New England charm and character, we've made a ton of improvements, obviously, to go ahead and meet some of the requirements for NHRA. But when people come here, they'll still see a lot of the familiar things that they're accustomed to seeing at New England Dragway, but then they'll be excited about the new area, especially on the right-hand side of the track, where we paved the entire right-hand side, and we have grandstands now that go from the starting line all the way down to the scoreboards. They'll have that same old feel, but they'll get to see some of the new stuff. And it will also give them a glimpse into what the future is going to be, because our commitment to NHRA is we are going to continually expand the facility until it is the type of facility that they want and the type of facility that we want to make guests happy every time they come here.
I think it's great, the working together, the synergy between the track and the NHRA to grow drag racing in that area. And I also understand, just by going to your website, that you guys are reaching out to look for new employees and even hiring on some staff.
Right. You know, this event has brought down an awful lot of extra responsibility for us, especially in terms of parking and taking care of our guests once they're in the grandstands. So we have roughly now 250 employees that will be assisting throughout the event, both whether they be in the parking lot, whether they be ushers for the grandstands, people that will be walking around just to go ahead and take care of the facility as far as, you know, just things like trash pickup and you know, taking care of the restrooms. So we've had to bring an awful lot in. And that being said, the community around us, especially the town of Effing, really understands that, and they've been very cooperative with us trying to help us get the event going. And they help put together what we call an incident management team involving all the local communities so that we can make this event as safe and as enjoyable as possible.
How far are you from Boston, Massachusetts? Boston being obviously a major media market. In terms of miles, in terms of time, if someone who lives in that region wants to get to the track and come out and see the racing, how far and how long would it take them?
It's just under an hour from downtown Boston to get to us. We have some major highways to get up here, Route 95 being the largest. And then that takes them onto Route 101, which is a four-lane highway, and there's an exit that's right in front of the track. So it's about an hour's drive from Boston, and we get people up here every week that are accustomed to that. And we're fairly close to the South Shore of Massachusetts. That's probably another 25, 30 minutes away. So it's an easy drive for people that want to come here thanks to the highways.
Very cool. And I understand your track surface is an all-concrete quarter mile.
That's correct. A couple of years ago, you know, I kept looking at, we were at 700 feet with our concrete, and I kept looking at the wear and tear that the asphalt was taking, and I said, you know, there's no reason, based on the technology today, that we cannot go with a super flat type concrete system on our track, and that's exactly what we did. And we went out to about 1,340 feet with the concrete, went a little bit beyond the finish line. And the first real test of that came during the very first Lucas Oil race that we had out here 2 years ago. And what happened then is that people were just setting records left and right, but everybody was raving about how smooth the track is. So we're very, very proud of that. And that just goes back to that thing about, you know, the track built by racers for racers. We understood that what we have to sell the racer, regardless of you know, what caliber they are, whether they're in the sportsman ranks or the professional ranks, the only thing we can really sell them is a time slip, so we want to make sure we give them the best surface possible to get that done.
Two final questions for you, Joe. And Joe Lombardo, General Manager of New England Dragway, with us here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. First, regarding concessions, I love experiencing all the different concessions at different tracks around the country. Of course, Pomona has an In-N-Out Burger. Every track has its own region-specific concession stand. Am I going to be able to get lobsters out there at the track? Lobsters. Am I saying it right?
You are. Yeah, you are. If you were to do it in the old New England way, it would be lobster.
Lobster.
But we're going to have lobster rolls. We have a vendor that's providing lobster rolls because that is traditional New England fare, and we want to make sure that's available for them. It's going to be a little warm for clam chowder, if you were to say it like the New Englanders say in clam chowder. We won't have that, but we will have lobster rolls so that people can taste that and get that feel for the New England cuisine.
Part two, are New York Yankee fans welcome?
Yeah, I guess they can come. We actually, believe it or not, have a very strong Yankee presence because the people in Connecticut, they're sort of not sure which side of the fence they should be on. So the people that are in Connecticut, they're either Yankee fans or Red Sox fans, and so we welcome them, too. We're more than glad to have them here. But they all have to be Bruins fans right now.
Yes, well, very much understood, of course. And what's interesting is in 2 weeks, the tour heads to Chicago. So, boy, talk about a drag racing nation divided.
I know. I should make a bet with the people out there in Chicago to say, hey, if we win this, you have to send me whatever you eat, and I'll send you some lobsters if we lose.
Get on the horn. We could broker it right here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. You hear that, Joliet? Let's get it going. Joe is challenging you, but things better happen soon. Hey, Joe, thanks for coming on WFO Radio. I really appreciate it. I am looking forward to coming to your track this weekend, and it's great because I get to get in on the ground floor with everybody else and experience your facility. I know how hard you guys have worked, and I know how much people in that part of the country have really been wanting an NHRA national event. I can't wait to experience it first time out. The way the tour and the season is going, it's going to be great, and I just want to thank you so much for your hard work to get it done.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you out here. I think you'll enjoy the facility, and as I tell everybody who's coming out for this event, you're going to be part of history.
Absolutely, and I am very much looking forward to it. He's the general manager of New England Dragway, Joe Lombardo. Joe, thank you for joining us on WFO Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Joe Lombardo with us here on WFO Radio, and I cannot wait to see this facility up there in New England. And my attitude about it is extremely positive. Whatever it is, this is a sport that grew from airstrips. And look at ZMAX Dragway. You've got to promote the sport. You got to get people excited. It's a chicken or the egg kind of thing. And the fact that they can grow and build and figure out and improve while the sport is growing up there in New England, I absolutely love it. And I cannot wait to see it this coming weekend. Joe, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. And if you're in the area, don't forget to follow us, WFO Radio, on Twitter. And each week, we hear from the stars of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. Like, for instance, coming up next after a quick break, we're going to hear from BT3. Bob Tasca III. I love the BT3 nickname. I know some people have called him that for a while. The RG3 kind of comparison to the NFL and the quarterback for the Washington Redskins, RG3, BT3. It's just kind of an easy thing that just rolls off the tongue and everybody wants to be part of what's hot and what's hip. And I think Bob's got it. And he's coming out of Rhode Island, so he's a local. This is his home track, and he made his first runs down a quarter mile at New England Dragway. How cool is that? We're going to check in with Bob Tasca when we return. Do want to remind you guys once again about the folks at Wilson Manifolds. Great friends of the show. And if you run a boat, if you run a personal watercraft, if you're looking for extra horsepower and you don't know where to turn, you might want to think about your intake manifold. A lot of people just bolt on whatever comes in the box. Yeah, bolt it on there and see how it goes. That's a strategy. Or you could do what the pros do and check out the folks at WilsonManifolds.com. Go to their website, sign up for their newsletter, and see exactly what I'm talking about. Whether it be naturally aspirated carbureted engines, whether it be fuel injection or nitrous oxide, they've got all kinds of systems. So many, I can't even begin to name them all. You just have to check them out at WilsonManifolds.com. They have state-of-the-art manufacturing, all kinds of incredible stuff. Check them out at WilsonManifolds.com. When we return, Bob Tasca III will join us right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called a champ, you got to beat me, because we fight for championships. We don't give them away.
WFOradio.com.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR tailgate party pick show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Time to pop the chutes and bring this WFO Radio NHRA Nitro edition down into the shutdown area. But first, we've got one final guest, a native of Hope, Rhode Island. He's going to his home track this weekend for the Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals. Joining us now, Bob Tasca III. What's up, Bob? Welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be on, Joe. Yeah, no, I tell you one thing. I've been excited for a lot of races, but I don't think I've ever been this excited. To go to a track that, you know, I've grown up with as a kid and went down the first time in my 1992 Mustang. I remember it like yesterday. So fast forward a few years, we're going to take a Mustang, this Motorcraft Quick Lane car down there a little bit faster this weekend.
This is the only car that you've owned that you haven't driven down that drag strip, correct?
This is the only one that I've ever owned that I haven't gone down this drag strip. And I can tell you over the last several years, I've had, my expectations were high and low. You know, I know NHRA and New England has worked hard to pull this whole thing together and to be able to go to my hometown. It's really going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
So how far from your house is this drag strip?
It's an hour and 45 minutes.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty close. It's closer than anywhere else I can go. But it's, you know, and it's a great track. You know, the surface is all concrete. My uncle goes down it all the time in his Cobra Jet, so I know that the racing quality is going to be terrific. Clearly, you know, there'll be a lot of investment over the years to bring the facility up to some of the standards that we're accustomed to. But, you know, for the first year, to get the New England fans out, I know there'll be a lot of fans for me that I know that have never been to a drag race. And I think that's what's great about our sport is, you know, going for the first time and experiencing what these cars sound and feel like and smell like. So this is going to be a real exciting weekend for everyone in NHRA.
NHRA has issued a traffic flow advisory to fans and competitors. I think this is the right move, though, Bob, going there, having the event. It's a chicken or the egg scenario, giving Joe Lombardo and the folks at the track and the racers that own the track the ability to grow over time rather than expecting a complete and total investment before the event happens. I like the strategy. I'm willing to deal with the growing pains.
Well, absolutely. You know, and the track put their money where their mouth is, because all of the funds from the NHRA national event goes into an escrow account, and it can't be spent on anything but track improvements until the track is fully developed. And I think that's an important point to convey, because this isn't one of those scenarios where, yeah, it may happen. This will happen. And with just the outpouring of support that the track's gotten for this first race this year, it's going to be exciting. I know Motorcraft, Ford, and you know, they support the track. You know, we've supported the track over the last several years. To have a national event there is really a dream come true for all of us in New England.
Bob Tasca III with us here on WFO Radio, driver of the Motorcraft Quick Lane Ford Mustang in the Nitro Funny Car class. Bob, tell me a little bit about the popularity of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing in the Northeast. This is a tour that literally travels to every region of the country. It's not a regional sport, starting in California, going to the Northeast, coming to the Southeast, the middle of the country, Texas, and even the Great Northwest. A lot of other motorsports series would kill to have that kind of schedule, but now a new race in the New England area, the first new track on the tour since Z-Max Dragway, that's a huge deal. How popular is drag racing in the Northeast?
Well, you ask a great question, and the answer is, well, the track sold out, I think, 2 months ago. It had all the reserve seats sold for Saturday and Sunday. I mean, you still can buy general admission tickets, but I think that speaks volumes when you have that kind of outpouring of support from New England race fans. There's a lot of pent-up demand in this market, and I really feel that, you know, the people that either haven't been or haven't been in a long time, when they get to see just how awe-inspiring these cars are up close and personal, I think it's going to be the start of many, many successful years to come in New England.
We're coming to the conclusion of this edition of NHRA Nitro. Let me rapid fire a couple of questions at you. You guys have been improving. You made some changes earlier in the year, and big time executive decisions, 11th in the point standings, obviously want to make the top 10. Do you feel like you guys are directionally correct and moving to where you want to be?
Well, I've always said let the scoreboard tell the facts, and the bottom line is this car has gone down the track 16 out of 18 times. We've never had that consistency, and that's what I've been searching for. We've had multiple runs over 314 miles per hour. We're really picking away at the tune-up. I think there's 80 points separating 4th to 11th. So, you know, whether you're 11th or you're 5th, you're certainly not safe in this ultra-competitive funny car field. But for Motorcraft Quick Lane, FordParts.com, this has been the race car, Joe, I've been searching for. I found it. The team's pumped up. I'm pumped up. And I tell you one thing, we're probably one of the more dangerous cars on tour right now with the consistency this car has.
What do you think of the nickname BT3? Should we go with that? Do you like it?
Oh, man, a lot of people call me BT3. So if it works for you, Joe, go right ahead.
What would it mean to win in the inaugural race at your home track? I know that's like a childhood backyard type fantasy, and yet with what we just spoke about, the consistency you found, you've been talking about racing here, you have certainly that home field advantage, so to speak. What would it mean, Bob?
It may mean everything, you know, for all the people that have supported me over the years, my family, friends, to build a win with so many of those people there. Now that's a dream come true. I've won in Englishtown twice. So to win here in Epping would be, I tell you one thing, Joe, we're not going to get a suntan this weekend, that's for sure. We're going to win, and I really feel that we got the best car to do that.
And how many of the people out of this sold-out crowd in the stands, how many cars in the parking lot were purchased at Tasca Ford, do you think?
Oh, there'll be thousands, literally thousands of them up there. I mean, it's just exciting to have so much excitement in our market about this race. I know there'll be an awful lot of Tasca fans and Tasca customers at this race.
Bob, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, getting ready for the Auto Plus NHRA New England Nationals, your home race, your home track. And I am very much looking forward to taking part in an inaugural event. Everybody is very excited, And I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Joe. See you there.
Bob Taska III with us here on WFO Radio. BT3! It's a great nickname. It's all about the nicknames and all of that stuff, and I like it. I think it's going to be wild to see exactly what the turnout is like. And folks, if you're in the area this Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., there's a free event, fun for the entire family. There's going to be prizes, giveaways, music, food, race cars on display, and a chance to meet and greet with some of the biggest stars of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. And I'm just going to tell you the pictures on the flyer: John Force, Brittany Force, BT3, Blake Alexander, Sean Langdon, and Robert Height. The Drivers Conference will be from noon to 1 p.m., and then from 1 to 2, the autograph session. So if you're in the Boston, Massachusetts area, this is in downtown Boston, you got to get over there and check it out. What's it called? The Fanuel Hall Marketplace? F-A-N-E-U-I-L? Fanuel? Fanuel? Fanuel Hall Marketplace? Go ahead, make fun of me, Bostonians. I don't know what it is. Fanuel? What is it? F-A-N-E-U-I-L. How about a phonetic spelling on the flyer? I would love it. The Fanuel Hall Marketplace Fan Fest in downtown Boston, Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Go meet the stars of drag racing, all you Boston drag racing fans out there. And what a show it has been. We heard from John Force and Alan Reinhardt. We heard from Steve Torrance and Roger Brogdon. We heard from Joe Lombardo and Bob Taska. We looked back at Father's Day. We looked ahead at this weekend in Epping, New Hampshire. The following week is Chicago. I'll be in Chicago as well. So all you WFOers, if you're in the Northeast and coming out to a New England Dragway, make sure to follow me on Twitter, tweet at me, and maybe we can meet up, hang out, say hi. Say what's up. And if you're in Chi-Town, all you Chi-Town hustlers out there, I will be in Chicago as well. So looking forward to seeing these two tracks. How interesting is it that it was just a couple of weeks ago we were in New Jersey, which is the New York Yankee territory, and this week we're going to the Boston Red Sox territory, while at the same time it's Boston Bruins territory, and next week we're going to Chicago Blackhawks territory. Two of the great rivalries, one in the Stanley Cup Finals and the other for all eternity in Major League Baseball. Is that just some sort of weird coincidence? Obviously it is. But I think it's kind of cool. Where do I get my hat split right down the center between the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees? Do you think I would wear that? I would be killed by my Yankee fan friends, and rightfully so. I shouldn't even have joked about it right now, in fact. Really a bad thing. I will be undercover this weekend as a Yankee fan walking around Boston, but that is okay. I shouldn't even be talking about any of this. It has been a great show, and a big thanks to all the WFO radio listeners out there. You guys really make it go, and if you want to make it go faster, you can make sure to let all of your NHRA fan friends know. Use your network to let them know about the show. We encourage you to share the show on your Facebook page and on Twitter when we tweet it out. The best way is for the show to go viral. Hey, NHRA fan friends, listen to all these great drivers. Do you want to hear John Force? Do you want to hear Steve Torrance? Do you want to hear Roger Brogdon? Click share or retweet. It is the best way to do it. And of course, the WFO radio application, you can gift it to your friends with iPhones through a couple of clicks in the App Store. And that has been going. We're closing in on 30,000 apps any minute, any second, any hour, any day. We're going to surpass 30,000 WFO radio apps out there. It has been a massive show, and we're getting started 4 weeks in a row of winners' editions starting right now. Next week, we'll have the Epping, New Hampshire winners. The following weekend, we'll have the Chicago winners. And the following week, we will have the Norwalk, Ohio winners. That's right, Norwalk. And it will be 4th of July, and we're going to get hardcore patriotic on everybody. But once again, big thanks to Joe Lombardo from Epping, New Hampshire's New England Dragway. Big thanks to Bob Taska. Big, giant thanks to Steve Torrance for coming on the show, and congratulations on their win. Of course, John Force for starting us off in a big way, and the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt. Folks, WFO Radio is available on iTunes, on demand, anytime, and through the WFO Radio app. We hope hope you like the show. And again, the best thing you can do is share. At very least, let your friends know. And the WFO Radio hats are on sale, but we are down to very, very few. So if you'd like a WFO Radio hat, for whatever reason, everybody's buying them all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, we'll keep it up because they are almost sold out, as in the last of the last of the last, down to the wire. So if you want a WFO Radio hat, you better get it in the WFO Radio store. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time. Thanks to everyone who helps behind the scenes and everyone who participates. And I'll see you this weekend at New England Dragway. Thanks for stopping in on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.